And now, Paul Meacham, Jr.
Professor E. Slauson of Washington University informs us that Genesis 2:7 is true. The professor explains it this way. The dust of the ground contains just 14 of 96 chemicals known to science, and the body of man is composed of all 14 of those chemicals. However, we know from the Bible that man is much more than a collection of chemicals. Mark chapter 8 and verse 36 asks us, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" It is because the soul of man is made in the image of God and is so valuable that God has done so much to reach man with his message. Today we're going to look at those who were sent by God to reveal his will to man as we explore God's truth for the world. Thank you for joining us today. And if you're in a position where you can read along with us and maybe even take notes, let me encourage you to take your Bible and a pen and a piece of paper as we begin our study today. It's important for us to study God's Word with the intention of learning something. If we don't begin our study intending to learn, then it is very unlikely that we ever will be able to learn. Learning is very important. God has given us the requirement of believing in Him. In fact, we're told in Hebrews 11 and verse 6 that if we don't have faith in God, both believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, we cannot please Him. But it's not possible to believe without some evidence. Now, God has given us that evidence. It's in the form of the world around us to show that a Creator exists, and in His revealed will, the Bible, to show us who that Creator is. So God has provided us the evidence. All we must do is learn it and believe it. Now, last week we began a study. We're taking our study from John chapter 1, and we've titled these lessons, His Name is John. Now, this is a phrase that was spoken by the father of John, a man named Zacharias. John was not a family name, and when his son was born, Zacharias was unable to speak. He had been struck dumb. He had been struck so that he could not speak by an angel because he didn't believe what the angel had told him. Now, when his son was born, Zacharias was at first not able to speak. And the very first words that came out of his mouth was, "His name is John." Now, notice if you would, John chapter 1 and verse 6, our text for this study. We're told there was a man sent from God whose name was John. A very simple verse, but it breaks down very cleanly to show us the three major portions of our study. Last week we looked at the first part of this verse. There was a man. Now those words have great meaning for us, and we should take both responsibility and comfort from those words. We learned last week that God has chosen man to do His will. Now, God could have done His will any way He chose, but He chose to send man and do His will. In doing so, He expects us, as mankind, to serve Him as His priests. Now, God had a priesthood under the Old Testament times, but He expects us to be His priest under the New Testament. As priests, we're expected to be whole. The priests under the Old Testament could not have physical defect. We, as spiritual priests, cannot have spiritual defect. We must be holy and pure before God. As priests, He expects us to teach His law to people. We're endeavoring to do that on this program, and we're glad that we have the opportunity to teach you, because it not only lets you know what God would have you to do, but it allows us to satisfy our responsibility to the Master. Now, also as priests, He expects us to walk in the light. Our personal conduct should be above reproach. All these things God requires of us if we are to be faithful priests, faithful servants of His. Now today let's look at the second part of John 1 and verse 6. Let me remind you of what it says. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Well, last week we said there was a man, and we've looked at the fact that we as men have responsibility to serve God. But it's also important for us to know that we as man have been sent. That one word, sent, makes up the study for our lesson today. In fact, probably we will study from this one word next week as well. You see, sometimes small words mean and say a great deal. This matter of sending and being sent is important because it is a matter of authority. It shows one who is in authority and one who is under that authority. The lesson comes to us this way from Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 8. Read along with me if you would. The centurion, this would be a Roman soldier, answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me." Notice this now. "I say to one, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. To my servant, do this, and he does it." This Roman understood what authority was. He knew what it meant both to be under someone else's authority and in authority over other men. Therefore, he knew that all Christ had to do was say the word, and his servant would be healed. He knew that the Christ had authority even over disease. Because of that, we know that all Jesus had to do was speak the word, and his servant would be healed. He wanted Jesus to do so because he had faith that the Christ would heal his servant. Jesus commented about this man and said he had not found so great faith, not even in Israel. This was a Roman who had the kind of faith that the Jews should have had, yet lacked. Now, notice if you would, we're talking about authority. God has the authority to send, and those who are sent are under his authority. First of all, let's notice that God sent the prophets. We read through all of the Old Testament times about one prophet after another being sent by God to his people, and sometimes even to other nations than Israel, in order to instruct them as to what God would have them to do, to warn them when they weren't walking in the right way, and to teach them how to better serve God and walk with him. Notice, if you would, Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 49. Luke records, "Therefore the wisdom of God also said, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who were perished between the altar and the temple. Yes, I say to you, it shall be required of this generation." God was going to require retribution. He was going to bring judgment against that generation for all of the great ills that had been done to the prophets. Now, God sent the prophets to the people, and he sent them with the intention of the people obeying his word delivered from the mouth of the prophet. But it didn't happen that time. Oh, we see that by the time Jesus walked on the earth, the great prophets, the great Jeremiah and Isaiah, had been given great reverence by the people. But at the times that those men walked the earth, they were ridiculed, many times even killed. But God sent them the prophets to direct them. God also sent them John the Baptizer. He sent them a man to prepare the way of the Lord. Now, in a way, John was an extension of sending the prophets. Notice in chapter 4 and verse 5. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5. We're told there, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Now, Malachi was talking about one who would come in the future, but he uses the name of a man who had come in the past. He talks about Elijah. Now, in Luke chapter 1 and verse 16, this is explained to us. We're told, "And he here is John the Baptist, he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord, their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Now, God was sending John the Baptist forth. He was sending him forth to prepare the way of the Christ. But he came in the spirit of Elijah, a man sent from God whose name was John. You remember that was our text, John chapter 1 and verse 6. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." This man an extension of what God had begun in the prophets to prepare the way for our Lord. And then finally, in our study today at least, God sent Jesus. 28 different times Jesus claimed to have been sent from the Father. Notice, if you would, Galatians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. Paul says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." God sent forth His Son. Jesus was commissioned, was sent to this earth with a task. Now, I'd like to notice 6 different areas about how Jesus approached that, and we'll have to move through this material very quickly. First of all, Jesus was very serious about the mission that God gave him. If you look even at the time that he was a small boy, in Luke chapter 2 and verse 49 we read, "Why did you seek me? And did you not know I must be about my Father's business?" At the age of 12 in the temple in Jerusalem, he told his mother and father, "I must be about my Father's business." Jesus knew even then that he had a mission he had to be serious about. And that mission sustained him throughout all of his life. It is what kept him going. In fact, he called it his very meat, that which sustained him. In John chapter 4 and verse 32, we read that Jesus said to them, "I have food to eat of, which you do not know." Now he said this to his disciples, for they had traveled into the city to bring him food. When they came back, Jesus was more interested in teaching than he was in eating. He had something that sustained him. We're told in John 4 and verse 34 that Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Jesus had a mission. He took that mission seriously. It was that very mission that sustained him. Thirdly, that mission was his reason for coming. Now, it is not that Jesus carried out his mission while he happened to be here on earth. He came for the purpose of carrying out his mission. Notice in John 6, beginning in verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day." Jesus took that mission very seriously. That mission sustained him. In fact, it was his very reason for coming to the earth. Now, that mission was basically this: to deliver the message of the Father and redeem man. Notice, if you would, with me, John chapter 7. Here in John 7, beginning in verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me." Now, that's a striking passage. Our Lord, being God himself, did not bring his own message, but rather taught the message the Father had given him to bring. In John 12, beginning in verse 49, Jesus said, "I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say, what I should speak, and I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." Jesus came and he delivered a message, but not his own message. He delivered the message of the Father. Jesus took this mission very seriously, and that's seen by the urgent way that he fulfilled his message. Oh, truly, it was an urgent attitude, an attitude of doing things now while time allowed. Notice, if you would, John chapter 9, beginning of verse 4. Jesus said, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work." Jesus knew a time was soon to come to him when he could not continue the message. He had to go ahead and get it done now. He was urgent in that. Now notice finally that when Jesus' mission was completed, when he was finished, he went back to the Father. He went home to the one who had sent him. Notice, if you would, John chapter 16 and verse 5. Jesus said, "Now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?'" You see, it wasn't necessary for anyone to ask him, "Where are you going?" He always had one thing in mind, to go back and be with the Father. So we see that the Father has sent many different people on missions at different times. He sent the prophets first, then he sent John the Baptist to prepare the way for Jesus. And then he sent Jesus to the earth with the mission. Jesus took that mission seriously. That mission sustained him. That mission was urgent. That mission was important. That mission was to deliver the will of the Father and do it.
As we've studied in today's lesson, we see that God has sent many different men at many different times to do his will. We understand that God has chosen by the hand of man to carry out his divine plan here on the earth. This should give us a great sense of value. It should show us that we truly are important to the Lord. Now, Jesus told his disciples as he walked this earth that the Father cares for us so much that he knows even when a sparrow falls. He has us numbered even to the numbering of the hairs on our head. God knows us. God loves us. God cares about us. And God has designed for us a mission. We too are sent to do things in the Lord's service. And the only way we can know what God wants us to do is to know God's Word. There are some who mistakenly look for some kind of special or miraculous call from the Lord. But Paul told the Thessalonians they were called by the gospel of Christ. If we are to know what God would have us to do, if we are to know what his mission and desire for us is here on the earth, then we must know his word, because that's the only way we can know what we are called to do.